Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, happy new year. Happy new year. It better be a happy new year, and it can be. It can be a happy new year. It can be really any kind of year you want. But I know you want happiness, you want peace, you want joy, you want increased finance, you want better health. You want so much, not only for yourself and your family. So I'm so happy that you're here on the Dr. Cappuccino Show. Now remember, we promised a new name, so make sure you're ready to go for our show next week. You'll be hearing about this new name from myself and other people that have, you know, cued in to say, you know, I think you should add this into that name or that name. But Colonel Dr. William Harrison, he's even given some ideas. So, hey, you're alive if you're listening. Hey, raise your hands and say, thank you, creator. You know, some might say, well, I'm going to call him this, I'm going to call him that, whatever. Just raise your hand and say, thank you. Welcome to the Dr. Cappuccino Show. This is a new year for a new mission and definitely for a new purpose. This is the time to look out into the world and ask yourself, you know, hey, am I living for the right reason, for the right purpose, even the right intention? You know, many people start off saying, you know, I intend to do this, I intend to do that. But what are you living for in the year 2020? Let's not even think about 2019. Oh, my God, I had a lot of problems, too, in 2019. But now here it is. A chance for you to look out into the world of self and family and everything else out there that's green and wholesome and say, hey, I'm going to do better. I must do better. Or it's no need for me even to even try to think in terms of taking a step in any direction if your mind's not made up to do that. So right now, hey, 2020 is on us. And we're happy. Because, number one, Dr. Colonel Harrison has a lot of activity scheduled for the year 2020. And, you know, he has the book there. I know some of you have ordered it. I sure hope you have. Because many are calling and sending email, text, you know, what's going on in the world. You know, everybody's talking, but ain't nothing good happening. What is happening? Well, his book, The Answer to the Solution to Chaos in the World, is something that I think all of us need to read. I need to read it over again. Because if we thought we had problems in 2019, wow, read your newspaper. You can see that more is to come. So I'm going to welcome Dr. Harrison. Are you there? I'm going to welcome him onto the show, the air right now.
Yes, good morning, Dr. Cappuccino, listening audience. I'm with you, and Happy New Year's to everyone.
Okay, well, it's up to you and up to me and up to the spirits that be to help make this 2020 really a happy new year. It doesn't matter what's going on outside of your sphere. If anything is going on that you have no power in your hands to control, then you are to look upward and look outward and try to be the best person you can be. You be the best person you can be. Somebody watching is going to do the same. But now let's talk about this new year. You know, the newscaster said that there were a lot of suicides the last 2 days of 2019. There was a lot of killings, more killings than usual at the end of the year. They said they were shocked. More disappearances, more drug overdoses, especially in that belt, what they call the Bible Belt. Said more suicides there than they were. My God, what's happening? You walk around the Bible, a lot of killings in your area, something's wrong. But a lot to happen the last few days, the last week out of 2019. So here we are starting off a new year. Of course, we should have a new mission. And some have already decided with the resolution that they were going to carry out, you know, and live with a new purpose. So this is what this topic for this show is about for the first Saturday of the new year. So hey, it's got to be a blockbuster. And since Colonel Harrison is also involved in Christian ministries, he's a former police officer, former chief of police. So, you know, he's walking in worlds, has walked and is still walking now into worlds that demand attention and, of course, right action. And so he has some comments on why 2019 ended in such a bloody way, in such a horrendous way, such a crime-ridden way. What happened, Colonel Harrison, in the 2019?
Dr. Capitano, from my perspective, 2019 ended in a traumatic way with a lot of adversities because we the people became divided in the country. We became divided, unfortunately, along racial lines. And I'm just reminded that I'm my brother's keeper and my sister's keeper, within my family, within my community, within my church, wherever I go, wherever I travel, whomsoever I come in contact with. So when we turn away from love, that the glue that holds us all together, and we become divided along racial lines, then that creates an atmosphere, goes back historically in this country, that need not be revisited. So the diversity, the divide, the conflict at the national level, the federal level, confusion at the top, confusion in the middle, then confusion at the working class level of people. It just led to the decline of a negative year for our country and the overtures of possible Middle East war. So I'll pause at this point.
Okay, well, that sounds very interesting, but let's just knock it down a notch. We're talking about, according to law enforcement here on the West Coast, we're talking about family issues. Killings amongst girlfriends, killings amongst boyfriends and girlfriends, killing amongst family members, fathers killing daughters, mothers shooting sons in the head, women throwing their daughters off the bridge. Let's just bring this, you know, into the home because, you know, there's an old saying that, you know, if you get your family life together, your neighborhood is together. If your neighborhood is together, your community is together. If your community is together, your city is together. If your city is together, your state is together. So, you know, it all starts back there in the home. And I know there's a lot of controversial things going on in the world. You mentioned the Middle East. We're not there yet. You mentioned some other things going on in the world with racism. We're not talking about racism. What we're talking about is people killing each other at the end of 2019, an upsurge in men killing women, women killing men, family members being desecrated by fathers, mothers involved in killings, which, you know, it used to be rare. You never hardly heard of a mother killing the daughter. You hardly heard of sons killing mama. But the end of 2019, law enforcement, they zeroed in on the family. We're going to get to the world events now on the scene. There's a lot of protests going on because of what happened over there with the Iran issue. So we're going to get to that. But there's no need of us going there if the family is still hanging loose and baggy, fast and furious, into the neighborhoods of crime. So what is happening with the family? Let's zero in right there. What happened at the end of 2019 that caused families, sometimes whole family members, to just slaughter each other? People going out in the streets shooting randomly. People shooting randomly into cars, drive-by shootings in neighborhoods, whole neighborhoods waking up and there's gates open and someone went into a gate and shot 9 people dead at a so-called New Year's Eve party. What is happening? What is happening with us on a human level? When it comes to family, when it comes to mother-daughter, when it comes to people in neighborhoods going roaming rapidly through the neighborhoods killing each other, what is the cause for that? We're going to get to this bigger picture of the Middle East. And if you're not in politics, that won't do you any good to even discuss that. But now let's keep it down to your home, my home, what's happening in my neighborhood, who did I see running through the night, 2 in the morning with a gun in their hand. Let's take it back to that level.
The family, from my perspective, has deteriorated because there's an absence of unity in the family, and there's an absence of male presence in the family in certain segments of society. The other component, the other component is that we have young girls having babies at an early age that's not prepared mentally, physically, emotionally, financially to take care of them. And so the family has changed from the traditional family. We're in a family that's fragmented by the environment, fragmented by the absence of male presence, fragmented by lack of income, fragmented by lack of maturity, and so forth and so on. And so with that, people having kids that don't know how to take care of them, don't know how to train them, and don't know how to teach them certain values is the reason that the family has become fragmented. I'll pause.
Okay, but now we're talking on the family. That's very good. So you're saying that all of the information from law enforcement here on the West Coast that's saying that there was an upsurge in murders, killings of people roaming the street, shooting, you're saying that that statistic was because of people that have a young girl, for instance, you mentioned, that have just lost their way. What do you mean by your comments? Expound a little bit more on your comments. We're talking upsurge in murder, upsurge in crime.
Sure. The family has become wayward, Dr. Capitino, listening audience. Wayward meaning the family has become, the family has lost the moral fiber, and the reason it's lost the moral fiber, meaning the values, you teach a child right from wrong, what to do, what not to do, you got to discipline them. If you spare the rod, you spoil the child, all those things. The children that are committing and young adults that are committing some of the violence that are going on in certain regions of the country now are the ones that came up during the era of crack cocaine babies and so forth and so on. And so now they're young adults, don't have any insurance, they have disorders and medical disorders that haven't been treated as a result of drugs and so forth that the mother may have taken that has affected the offspring, the child. And so the child has a propensity either toward violence or get in with gangs and get in with groups that perpetuate violence. And so that's why there's an upsurge in violence in certain regions of the country on the street through police reports.
Wow, my goodness. Oh, that sounds scary. Well, let me ask you this. Are there any institutions that have had the responsibility of entering into a person's life and a person's family on the person's job? I mean, is there any institutions that were given a divine reason, non-divine charge over the lives of people in the community to help them do better, become better, and, of course, act better? I mean, it seems like there's some responsibility here. We're not pinning the tail on the donkey, and I think we actually should. If America, I'm just using America now, I'm not going anywhere else. If America has declined in good works, people seeking jobs for the right reason, people wanting to live better because somehow they have a conscience that has been trained to be acted upon to say, hey, I'm human. I'm gonna act like a human being. I'm gonna love my neighbor. I'm gonna bless those in my neighborhood. I'm gonna be helpful. I'm gonna go walking to and fro to see what I can do to help someone else outside of myself. Has there been any organization, or let's add an S on that, that has been partially ordained to be responsible for the lives of others? It seems like maybe it was, but they're not doing the job. They haven't done their job. If America has gotten to where it is, because keep in mind, America is bound by Constitution, Declaration of Independence, and of course the religious sector held sway. I mean, if there was any problems going on in a lot of neighborhoods, then the law enforcement would go knock on the doors of the church and find out, well, do you know this person? Have you seen this person? And 9 out of 10 times, the church leaders would say yes, and they show up at the door of the police station with that particular person. But now, while we're talking about moral breakdown, well, why is it moral breakdown? It always was not. It's been problems, but it always was not. So I'm thinking now, these people that open the doors on maybe 2 or 3 days a week, Sundays especially, what happened? Because they're declining. nobody wants to even talk about them. And I know you have a flourishing congregation there where you're at, but I'm talking about across the entire nation. These pastors and preachers and evangelists, they hold no power now. People are just going because, oh, you know, I want to wear my clothes. Oh, I got some new shoes. I want to show them off. I got a handbag. I want to show that off. I got a new purse. Yeah, I want to gossip with my friend, not knowing that perhaps her husband's sleeping with her. What happened? Something has gone wrong. And the people are roaming the streets, roaming the street like this is the bad lands of Texas. Colonel Harrison, what happened? Why is this? We have got to put our finger on the problem, and then the solution part of what you have in the book, we need to say this is a new year to give people a new mission, a new purpose in their life. What do I do now? I ran like a dog out of my own skin all 2019. I did all kind of crazy stuff 2019. I cursed, I hollered, I did it all. But now here we are, we saw 2019 actions. It didn't amount to anything. And while we can talk about the Middle East and this and that, we need to go stay in that home. Because people from the Middle East, they got to go to home when the sun set. Trump has got to go to his house wherever that is when the sun set. So now here we are, a new year, and it seems like a lot of this foolishness in mankind's own backyard has overcrossed the line. What are you saying to people that you know come to you for counsel? What is people saying in D.C., New York, Texas? You might say, oh, well, I don't know. Yeah. Because I know the apostles, the disciples, the followers were all on one accord. When they spread out to Samaria, Judea, and all wherever, they all had the same message, that he is Lord. They didn't change nothing. What has happened that we're going right into a new year with no answers? What can you say about that? We have got to give the people hope.
The institution charged with instilling morals in society is the church. And still, some people think it was the church. It still is the church. But it must begin first within the family. Mothers,
right,
fathers must teach their children certain disciplines, certain values, so that, and then from there, once they're taught in the family, then take them to the church. The church reinforces the morals and the values at a higher level and a more sustained level, and the church gives hope. The church will provide assistance. The church will provide counseling. And so the problem is that the family has broken down. And so the residual family don't go to the church for the most part, turned away from the church, turned to the world trying to solve the problems that should have been solved within the family. The church can help sustain the family, can help guide and direct and assist the family. But if the family is not in order and the family doesn't go to the church and turn away from the church, then the church is at a disadvantage in trying to provide help. Because the traditional church, there's a thought or a belief that the traditional church is no longer a value. The devil's a liar. The church is still a value. If we allow it to be, it's a resource. And so if you don't use that resource and you turn to resources of the world, then you're not going to find certain things out there that would teach the same moral principles that the church was charged to teach from the beginning of time.
That's very true, but if that is true from a foundational standpoint, why are so many closing? Why are so many people coming out of the church and saying, you know, they're no good, they didn't really help me do anything? I'm not talking about a few hangers-oners. I'm not talking about a few pastors that are still, you know, hanging on to the Titanic. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about overall across the nation. They are closing. They've been closing for the last 2 years. People don't feel they're relevant. People don't feel that whatever they're saying, it has no power. So if the majority of people that used to go to church or used to go in these institutions feel that way, do you see some kind of a resurgence? I mean, people are going in the churches now shooting and killing people. They're waiting in their car till they come out to church. They're getting up, going up in there. And see, it used to be almost sacrilegious to be even around the church with a weapon. Churches now have armed guards on the inside. They have plainclothes cops with weapons, concealed weapons, roaming them down the aisle, pretending to be ushers. What has happened that the church has and the membership has gotten to that point? Some say when the church religious institutions start to decline, crime increases. That's law enforcement saying that. They're saying that they can only do so much. After the crime is committed, here they run with some big rifles, you know, hanging out of a car. It's too late. All the shooting and the death that has occurred has already occurred. By the time they get there, they can do nothing but take some tape and put it around the building, start asking questions. They're the dead language. He can't speak. So what can we say about the decline in the religious institutions and the increase of crime? Some are saying that was bound to happen. When they lost their sight, their savior, people said, oh, well, you know what? I've been fooled. It ain't about anything. So, okay, I'm going to do exactly. What can we say about that type of thinking?
The world is going the way, and it probably would take 3 or 4 shows, Doc, for me to make this point succinctly and make it stick. The church is one entity. The world is another. The world is going the way of Bible prophecy. There's a word called apostasy. That's why I said it would take several shows to really deal with it. Apostasy means turning away from God.
I think it will only take one. No. I think it will only take one. And I'm going to say this too, Colonel Harrison. Why? It does. My daddy used to say, it don't take all that. My mama used to say, it don't take all night. So I'm going to say this. Matthew, if we're now into the religious area, we always go there. Christ, upon that Mount of Ascension, he told them, he gave the final decree to his people. He said, go ye therefore. You guys, so-called leaders, you so-called big-time layers on of hands, he said, go ye therefore, teaching and preaching and baptizing. Okay, I'm going to stop there. I'm going to stop right there. Anyone want to read it? Go to Matthew 21. So can we safely say that some of our churches, while they're shut down, closed, and hopefully will not open again, is because they have not heeded that admonition. He said, go ye therefore. I don't think that we would have the crime and all of the mayhem going on now and the horrible 2019 stats if some of our religious leaders would be doing that. Let's face the facts. They're not doing that. They know they better not tell their flock to get out and go knock on the door. That church would be empty. People they stood over for years wouldn't come back anymore. So can we kind of put our finger on that? He said, go ye therefore. Are any of the reasons these churches have closed down because they ran up in there and they sat down, they listened to one man, and they went off again to eat and do whatever they're going to do? Have they been taught to go ye therefore? I can almost sit here and say, if church folk had been going door to door, they've been going in the marketplaces just like the one that said it did. I mean, can we follow? He said, follow me. So if we can safely say that some of them obviously haven't followed him. He had 11 following him all across from land to land. But our people here, they haven't done that. They put on expensive suits and ties wrapped around their neck, and they stood at a podium, yeah, 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 yeah. I mean, can we safely say that they should not have been doing that? He didn't say, go there and sit up and wait for 200 or 300 to come see you. He told them, the leader there, go ye therefore. And if they were the leaders, they're supposed to go back to that synagogue, Roman synagogues or wherever else, and say, okay, you're going to meet here. You're going to get some instruction, and then you're getting out of here. You can't walk, we're going to have someone push you in a wheelchair. You can't walk, we're going to have someone help you with your crutches. I've seen that. Are our churches responsible for not going ye therefore? You are a minister. Help us out, Reverend.
Yes, Matthew chapter 28, there is the Great Commission, and it does say, go ye therefore, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. What has happened is that when society changes, it causes the church environment to change. I've found that most community-based churches, which are called small churches, still seem to stick to the charge, go ye therefore. As the congregation grows, sometimes their vision changes and their goals and objectives changes. But the charge should never change. The pastor is responsible for seeing that the charge, that there's a cadre of people within the congregation that will go out and minister outwardly, what's called outreach ministries and so forth, to those out in the community, senior citizen centers and the like, and so forth and so on. So we don't have as much of that going on as days of old. But the community-based churches are still preaching and teaching and advocating and sending people out to visit the sick and shut in and so forth and so on, nursing homes and so forth. But as the church gets larger, some churches tend to lose that perspective, lose that charge, and don't do it as often as they should or not do it at all. So that's what has happened with that respect. But the church as an entity still has that charge. It still will work. And the reason it's not working is because the pastors are not enforcing it at their level, because the pastor is the head of the church.
Oh, yeah, that surely makes sense. But now, did Jesus speak specifically to the pastoral sect? You know, Scripture says everyone is supposed to be a herald of the good news of the gospel. So do you think he just left it to the pastoral body? You guys go do it, leave your flock behind, just give them something to eat, see if you can reenact the loaves and fishes. I mean, was he just talking to the pastors? Well, I think anyone claiming that he knows the Christ and he wants to follow Christ in his footsteps, is it safe to say that he was talking to the young and old, the boy and the girl, the old man and the woman? Joel said in the last days, all of them was going to be prophesying and talking about the Christ. Now, you guys don't get upset. You know, we always talking about Jesus in the Bible. You want to talk about some other God, just call in or write in. Now, so can we safely say that he was not just talking to a few men, or was he talking to everybody? Go on into the marketplace. Go to JCPenney's and say something about me. Go into Ralph's Market and say something about me. Go into a super shoe store and say something about me. Go into the gas station and say something about me. Go into the senior. Was he just saying just to go into one particular place and say something, or was he saying boldly, put your life on the line, you think you all that and more, go ye therefore? I said, go ye therefore. I mean, can we safely say that he was talking to everybody that professed that he is the Son of God, that they too were involved in this go ye therefore?
The charge was to everybody, but the pastor is responsible for teaching and identifying and teaching disciples and sending them out, sending out evangelists, sending out missionaries. And so the pastor is not charged with doing it himself, but he's charged with teaching them and equipping them with what is needed to go out into the community and go to those various places I mentioned earlier to minister to people. So I'm saying as the church grows and the church gets large and the congregation increases, sometime with some pastors, that may not become as much of a priority as it once was, but it always should, because it's the charge to all of us, regardless whether it's a small church, medium-sized church, or a large church. The charge is, go ye therefore, the Great Commission, Matthew chapter 28.
That's it. So a new year, a new mission, and a new purpose. There it is. You heard it. Go ye therefore. If you can take some food over across the street to a neighbor, do it. If you can go over, you see a man standing homeless, go and offer prayer. I mean, there's so many things you can do. do something to get a new purpose, do something to get a new mission. And you know what? Only you do something. So, okay, there it is. A new year, new mission, new purpose. You got it. Go ye therefore. We're going to extend this for next week and watch out for the new name. God bless you all. Thank you so much for tuning into the Doctor's Opportunity. Thank you, Dr. Harrison. Have a great weekend.